Morning. Today's daf in Nida is the daf Chav Beis. Okay, we started the second perek of Nida yesterday. And here's the one thing we need to know. We're a little bit behind. We're in Chav Aleph Amud Beis, right? We made it to the very top. And here's really the one thing we need to know. And we're going to not only going to see this, I'm going to review it from yesterday, but we're actually going to do it again today's daf, because today's daf is a Lishna Achrina. We're going to start off today with a Lishna Achrina. It's kind of an awkward beginning to a daf, but that's where I ended yesterday. So everything I'm telling you right now is going to be basically encrypted, said in the Gemara in a slightly different version. What did we learn yesterday in the Mishnah? Mapel Chaticha. A woman gives birth to an unidentified mass, meaning something comes out of her body. It doesn't have limbs. It doesn't have a face. It doesn't have a head. It is just simply a piece of flesh that comes out of her. Rechmel Etzlan is obviously not something that we would want for anybody. But, in other words, it comes out of her. Now, again, as we mentioned already, you got to put on, when you're talking about a woman and having a discharge, you got to have three tumas that you got to keep in your mind at all times in order to think this through. Meaning, number one, tumas nida. Right? If it's uterine blood that comes out of her and it comes out through her canal, so that makes her nida. The moment that the blood actually enters into the canal makes her nida. That's called tumas nida. Good. That's what we've been discussing from day one of the Masechta. Tumas ziva. Okay, tumas ziva is that after the 7 days of nida, the next 11 days are what's called yemei ziva, where if she bleeds during those days, so she's going to be a zava. Okay, so over here, Mishnah doesn't tell us when it's coming out of her, but it's just another type of tumah that you need to think about when a woman experiences a type of discharge. And then finally, tumas leida, when a woman gives birth to a child, to a human child, so it's, and I say human because yesterday back in the Mishnah, we went through all those mutated cases where she gave birth to something that didn't look like a human. Okay, she gives birth to a human child, so she's going to be tumas leida. And that's a more complicated tuma because it depends on what gender it is, and it's got two stages of the tuma. It's got days of yemei tuma, days of yemei tara, and the term is a little bit confusing because even during her yemei tara, she's still somewhat tumea. And then after that, after she goes through either 40 days for a boy, 80 days for a girl, then she finishes her tumas leida. Okay. So, this woman gave, let's not use the term gave birth, it's not a birth, but she discharged a chaticha, an unidentified mass. So what do we learn back in the Mishnah? Machlokis. So I'm just reading the first lines of the Mishnah again, of the second parak, of the third parak. Hamapels chaticha, by the way, I said second parak, I was wrong. Third parak is what I meant. So if she gives birth to this chaticha, she discharges this chaticha. So if there's blood that accompanies it, she's tamea. Otherwise, she's not. She's tahora. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, how do we treat the chaticha? Nothing. Like a total zero. But if there happens to be blood that accompanies that discharge, so then she's a nida. And then there's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Kach, Ben Kach, Tamei. No, she's Tamei. Period. Now, the obvious question is, why? Why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is she Tamei? What happened over there? Even if there's no blood that comes out of her, even if all that comes out of her is this unidentified mass, she's Tamei. She's Tamei Leida. She's Tamei Nida. What's going on? Okay, good, obscure, ambiguous, unsure. The Gemara yesterday proposed a pshat. The Gemara ended up rejecting. And then the Gemara finally decided this is a pshat of the Mishnah. Okay. And what I'm giving you basically is the bottom line in terms of what is the Gemara's final understanding of the Mishnah. And again, we're going to get to see all this inside in the Gemara again today. But let me first say it outside. Look, this mass came out of her. This mass doesn't have blood. Okay. It's just a mass. It's just an unidentified mass that comes out of her body. Okay. So according to the Tanakhama, it's nothing. It's a zero. It's not a birth.
She's not tummy.
It's not need. There's no dam. There's no dam need. It's nothing. It's zero. Good. What's Rav Yehuda's position? It opened up her cervix. It had to. Meaning it came from inside of her body to outside of her body. Meaning it was in her uterus and it came out of her uterus. The only way it comes out of her uterus is by opening up the cervix. The cervix has now been opened up. Right? Is it possible for the cervix to open up and no blood to come out? Rav Yehuda says, impossible. The way that the Gemara expresses this is, e efshar lepsichas kever below dam. It's impossible for the kever. I know that's a strange way to describe the womb of a woman. Okay, it is a strange way. I'm sure somebody has a good explanation of why it's called that. But e efshar lepsichas kever below dam. It's impossible for a woman's cervix to open up and there not be any discharge of blood whatsoever. We don't see the blood. We don't know what happened to the blood. Okay, that's an issue. But it's a technical issue. Impossible. Now, how does he know this? Meaning, where did Rav Yehuda get this position from? I'm unclear. Meaning, I don't know what the source of this is. The Gemara expresses this. The Gemara doesn't give a source for how we know this to be so. How does Rav Yehuda know this to be so? Okay, but he believes it's so. He's of the opinion that it's so. And so, therefore, that's a machlokas in our Mishnah. Good. Now we have a pshat in our Mishnah. According to the Tanakhama, it's possible for a woman's cervix to open up and there be no blood. And look what comes out of her. What comes out of her is this unidentified mass. I don't know what it is, but it's not. It's not a Leda, it's not an Ida, it's nothing, it's zero. She is Tahora. And Rav Yehuda's point of disagreement is, no. The fact that it came out of her means we can agree that her cervix opened up. If her cervix expanded, so EF Sharla Psicha Sakeva below Dam. Good. That is the way the Gemara understands the machlokas of the Mishnah. And the Gemara quoted a braisa that supports this understanding as well. And we're going to continue in our Gemara Lishna Achrina. Okay? And again, as I mentioned already... Lishna Achrina means that the Gemara is going to give us the same discussion, a slightly modified version. It's a different version.
The dam that comes out is dam
neither? Yes. Yes. So, Amr La, Lishna Achrina Amri La. They said in a slightly different format. Amr, Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel Otime, Rav Yehuda Ela Bechatich Hashal Arba Mine Damen. Again, we start off with a statement made by Shmuel, Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, that Rav Yehuda is only going to be Metame if this Chaticha is made up of one of the four colors of Hashashar Mine Damen Tahara. But if this Chaticha is made up of any of the other colors, so the Chaticha, this unidentified mass that comes out of her is white, is black, not black. I didn't mean that. Is yellow, is green, whatever. Some color other than red, and specifically the four reds that we talked about at the end of the second parak, she's Tahara. This is, again, a suggestion made by, or an opinion made by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Any of the Gemara says, but we know that's not true because the Haki Asa Rav Oshia Minar Adasa Vaisa Masin Sabi Adei. Because when Rav Oshia comes in, he brings the following Bryce, and the Bryce reads like this. I'm reading quickly, because this is just simply a review of what we did yesterday. The Tanakhama says that she discharges this mass, this unidentified mass. And it could be red, it could be black, it could be yellow, it could be white. If there's blood associated with it, she is Tamea. And if there's no blood, she's Tahora. Irregardless of what color it is. Rav Yehuda Amar, Ben Kach Tamea. And Rav Yehuda says, I don't care. She says she's always Tamea. Not I don't care, but she's always Tamea. So, good. That's the Braisa. Now the Gemara says, let's analyze the Braisa. Katani, Aduma, Vishkori, Yoruku, Levana. Look at the colors that were mentioned by the Tanakhama. They are black, red, white, and yellow. Upalik Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda is arguing. V'chitem ekipalik Rav Yehuda adu mashchara. And now maybe you'll suggest to me that the only point of dispute is only if that which comes out of her is black and red. Aval yiroko levana lo. But they're not. But Rav Yehuda is not going to dispute if it's white or yellow. Ala yiroko levana man ketani lo. So the Gemara says, okay. So now it's a white and yellow mass that comes out of her. Who's going to say that she's tamei? So ilam la rabbanan hashta adu mashchara kamatari rabbanan yiroko levana mibai. Look, if what comes out of her is something which is either red or black, and the Chachamim say, oh, don't worry, she's Tahora. So if it's red and black and she's Tahora, so for sure, if that mass is white or yellow, which is not even a color that can be confused for blood, she's of course going to be Tahora. Alav Rav Yehuda. So it must be that the only one who's espousing that viewpoint is Rav Yehuda. Upalig and Rav Yehuda is arguing on the colors of white and yellow. So clearly our original understanding is not correct. Ella Amar. We have in the corrected side of the Gemara Rav Yochanan. Elam Rav Yochanan Be'ashul Psicha Sekever Below Dam Kemifulgi Wapluka Dani Tanai. So the Gemara Rav Yochanan says, okay, so that's not the Pshat. This is the Pshat, which is what we concluded yesterday, which is what I mentioned at the very beginning of today's daf, which is whether or not the cervix can open up without blood coming out of her. Ditanya, and I know that this is so, meaning I'll show you a braisa that illustrates that this is up for debate. Kasha sashnayim, ushlishi hipila, ve'eno yodama hipila. For 2 days, she was discharging blood. And then on the third day, she discharges. She discharges something. And we don't know what it is, but something came out of her body. Ve'eno yodama hipila, reza safik leida safik ziva. So according to the Tanakama, she may have given birth, meaning it's possible. We just don't know what came out of her. We know something came out of her, so it could have been a Leida. On the other hand, it could also be she's a Zava. Why?
Because
she could also be that she's also a Zava. No, why? No.
Two days.
I know I said 2 days, but then on the third day, it opened up. Her cervix opened up.
If unless there was blood, it wouldn't say
Zava. Okay, good. So in other words, her cervix opened up. Now, we don't know what came out of her, but the Tanakhama is going to be of the opinion that once the cervix opens up, that is clear evidence. I can say it's so that blood came out of her. Good. Again, not good, but in other words, we understand. So that means now that this becomes now, if it's not a Leda, this will be for her third consecutive day of bleeding. And we're assuming that it's during her Yemei Ziva, hence she's a Zava Gadola. So maybe a carbon may nonecha. So a carbon is brought, but the carbon's not eaten, as we explained yesterday. We don't know why she's bringing the carbon, so we're not going to eat the carbon, but nevertheless, the carbon's going to be brought. And Rabbi Yoshua, Amar mevi a carbon v'necha. And Rabbi Yoshua says, what are you talking about? Bring the carbon and eat the carbon. Because the Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that not only do I know that she's a Zava, I know for sure she's a Zava. Because once the cervix is opened up, so I'm not suggesting that she is a Zava Gadola. I'm telling you she's a Zava Gadola. I know she's a Zava Gadola. So you see that this issue of whether or not the cervix can open up with blood, either yes coming out or no, or only possibly coming out, it's subject to a machlokas between Tanayim. So therefore, what we're going to do now is we're going to take that machlokas, which we know exists, and plug it into our Mishnah in order to understand the first lines of the Mishnah of the third parak of Nida.
That's within a special
context. Right, agreed. Meaning,
2 days of bleeding that already happened, it wasn't just like de novo first day.
I totally understand, I agree with you, but at least it gives us a certain context. At least we know we have such a machlokas. You're right. We wouldn't necessarily have translated to our Mishnah, but we need a way to explain the Mishnah, and given that we have no other way to explain the Mishnah, so this is it. This will become the way.
Shita Rashi, when you're pregnant, the Shita Rashi and Shita Rama Man, you may need also, you may need also. Okay? Now, Shita Rashi, when a woman's pregnant, is that right? Is the full term of pregnancy, you may need both?
It is a complexity, which I also don't have full clarity on. In terms of how the woman can get to the end of the term of her pregnancy, not the end of the term, but just some point of where she's ready to discharge this fetus, right, and be in her Yemei Ziva.
By Rashi,
it's going to be the Rambam is going to be easier because, right, it's a very good observation because by the Rambam, 7:11, 7:11, it just continues. So by the Rambam, you have it, but according to Rashi, it's difficult unless you want to say that even during pregnancy she bleeds and that's called Nida and that starts the.
She
didn't
bleed during the pregnancy, that's
right. Okay. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, where are we? Three lines down, once the line becomes wide. Hamapel Schaticha. So where are we right now in this discussion of her discharging, aborting some identified mass? It's not a Leida. She may be a Nida. In our Mishnah, what does it come down to? A machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. The Tanakhama says she's nothing. Unless blood comes along with this chaticha, she's nothing. She's not Tomas Nida, she's not Tomas Leda, she's nothing. And Rav Yehuda says she's Tameya. And the way we're explaining Rav Yehuda now, she's Tamei Nida. Why? Because her kever opened up, her cervix opened up, and therefore blood had to have come out. Had to have. And so therefore she's a Nida. That's where we are right now. The Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Hamapels, Chaticha. We're going to discuss the same case, but a new opinion. Sumcha Zomer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Vechena Yer Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasseh, Yomer Kidvarav. So Sumcha says in the name of Rabbi Meir, and it's corroborated by Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasseh, here's what you do. Kara. You take that mass and you open up the mass. Okay? A simple cutting open of that mass. Im yesh dam besocha tamea v'im lav tahora. If there's blood inside this mass, she is tamea. Okay. Now let's think this through. Kirabanan v'adifa midrabanan. Essentially, this opinion, which is now a new opinion, something we have not heard before, follows like the Chachamim, but is even one step further than the Chachamim. Kirabanan d'armi afshel p'sichas hakever below dam. Because look, on one hand, her cervix opened up. Right? That's a given. And we're not automatically declaring her a nida. Good. So that's going like the Chachamim, that's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Good. But it goes even one step further. The adifa midrabanan dina savra ima in besocha lo. V'simcha savra afilu besocha. Where according to the Tanakhama, if there's blood, she's a nida, but only if that blood comes together with that unidentified mass. So meaning what's coming out of her body is the mass plus blood. Okay. And Simchas is telling us, in the name of Rav Meir, we're going to go one step further. Even if the blood doesn't accompany the mass, even if the blood is contained in the mass, she's going to be a nida. Okay.
But the blood is not coming out of her body.
Now the blood is coming out of her body, right? I thought you were gonna make another point, which the Gemara is about to make. It is coming out of her body.
It's within her. It's not.
You're right. Yeah, good. You're right. You're hitting the critical issue. Now, before we hit the critical issue, let's just go through a couple more brises that discuss this, and then we're gonna really hit on the critical issue. V'tanya idach, and the Gemara quotes now another brise. Ma'pels chaticha. Again, a woman is now aborting. She's discharging a unidentified mass. Rabbi Acha Omer Koraim Tocha Ma'adim Tamei Avim Lav Tahora. So this is now Bryce. This Bryce is authored by Rabbi Acha, and he says, "Opened it up. All you need to see is red inside the mass. You don't need to see actual blood. As long as you see the appearance of red, she's a nida." Okay. Now the Gemara makes the following observation: because Simchas V'Adifam is Simchas. Once again, this is Simchas, but it even goes one step further. Why? Because Simcha says you need to see actual liquid blood inside the mass, and this position, Rabbi Acha, is not even actual blood, just simply a red hue inside this unidentified mass. Tanya Idach, we're going to do now one more braisa. Hamapels Katicha, Rabbi Binyamin Omer, Kora, Mieshba Etzem, Imot Me'aleida. Okay, here's a new way to look at this unidentified mass. Right? For we saw him in the beginning of Baba Metzia.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. So Imesh ba etzemimo tamea leida. If you see, open up the unidentified mass. If you see a bone inside the unidentified mass, we're gonna now identify it as unfortunately, an aborted fetus. And so therefore this is considered now a birth, and she's tamei tamas leida. Now this is obviously an approach that none of the other Tanaim have taken. Meaning all the other Tanaim were taking an approach that maybe she's a nida, let's investigate, let's see if we can find blood. Or even just a shade of blood. Here now, by virtue of the fact that they found a bone inside, is now identifying this as an aborted fetus, and therefore she's tamei tamas leida. Okay. Amar chisav echaticha levana. Now this position of Rabbi Binyamin just cited is only going to be if this unidentified mass is white. And the Gemara quotes a brisa which corroborates exactly this position, that we're only going to identify the unidentified mass, A, if it has a bone inside, and B, if the mass's color is white. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Okay, the Gemara quotes in the name of the Rashbi. Rabbi Yochanan quotes in the name of the Rashbi, "Hamapels chaticha korim yesh badam agur tmeya v'im lav tahora." This is, I believe, going to be the last brisa that discusses this topic. I think. If you find an unidentified mass, open it up, and here the Rashbi is quoted as saying that you need blood. But what's noteworthy is dam agur, not just a little bit of blood inside, but you need an aggregate amount of blood. It doesn't say how much, but more than just a little amount. Now, because Simchas v'kila mikula. Now, basically, he's agreeing with Simchas. But it's more lenient. It's a more lenient opinion, because as opposed to Simchas, a drop of blood found inside makes her nida. According to Rabbi Binyamin... No, not Rabbi Binyamin.
How do you know that cutting yourself doesn't cause a bleed?
According to... Sorry, let me just finish. Rabbi, according to Rabbi Acha, just a shade of blood is going... Just a shade of red is going to make her nida. And according to this position, according to Rashbi, you need a significant amount of blood inside. He doesn't say how much, but you need a significant amount. I'm sorry, Ben, go ahead.
My question is, how do you know that when you cut it, the cutting itself doesn't cause the blood to go, to be like that? You could be cutting blood vessels.
What do you mean? But in other words, the mass has already been discharged out of her body.
I understand that, but the mass may contain blood vessels. So when you cut it open, you're cutting blood vessels. It is the blood.
Uh-huh. So in other words, outside of Rabbi Binyamin, the rest of them are all basically saying, resigning to the fact that it's not a child.
I understand that. Yeah. Even if it's like, let's say, there's something called a trachoma, like women could have like a, it's not a fetus, but like they've got different kind of tissue, but these things could still have like blood vessels.
Okay.
And you can see it when you cut it, no?
I understand that. But in other words, it's not uterine. What he's arguing, right? What he's arguing is that it's not uterine blood. It's blood of this mass, and so therefore she's not a nida. Nida means meaning what?
You would see when it comes up.
If I'm understanding Ben correctly, okay, and I'm, or this is more me talking than him talking, but when if I'm understanding correctly, in other words, basically what the Gemara is concerned with is that maybe it's uterine blood encapsulated in this unidentified mass. So that when we're opening it up now, we're finding the uterine blood that's tucked away inside. And what Ben's point is that it may not be uterine blood inside, it may be blood of the mass.
Right, when you cut, what do you say? When you
uterine
cut
blood, blood is
not no, uterine blood is not mida.
It's inside, it means it's inside. Right. You don't cut anything. When you cut, so it's not, you can see the blood coming out from the
okay.
vessel.
What's the English word for dam leda?
No, there is no dam leda.
Meaning, opening it up.
Dam leda.
You
right, but no. Right. We can clarify after. Okay. And now, finally, it's a lot of information, but basically, it can be all distilled to make one singular point, and that's the following. You see, essentially, what's going on over here is the following. Let's do this, okay? And I'm going to make it simple. Let's say that the blood contained in this mass is uterine blood. Let's even call it damnida. Okay? Let's do that. Okay? And I know there are various opinions that we just went through, but just to simplify the whole discussion, let's even say it's uterine blood. But here's the story, though, is that this blood, which we'll even call it damnida, never actually came into contact with her as it exited her. Meaning it was enveloped. It was enveloped inside this unidentified mass, and it was taken out of her body, it was discharged out of her body, and the blood never came into contact with her. And here really becomes now the critical issue. In order for her to be a nida, does the blood need to touch her as it exits her body? Now, to further amplify this point, let me say it like this. Okay. It's really important, in other words, to get a good handle. And I don't think I understood this as well the last time I did this as I do right now. We touch on the most fundamental issue about how a woman becomes a nida. What is Tumas Nida? A woman is a nida, why? Okay, so the simple explanation is because her lining of her uterus now is sloughing off and it's coming out of her body and it passes out through the canal and it exits her body. Good. All I did was just explain the biology. But in other words, halachically, what is that? Meaning, what kind of tum are we talking about? Really, in its most essential and fundamental way, it is really just a re'iyah. It's a re'iyah's dam. Meaning, let me put it this way. Is there any amount of blood that needs to exit her body in order for it to be a nida?
No,
absolutely not. It's just the simple notion that she discharged blood. And so what we are going to call this now is a re'iyah. And in fact, that's what the way the Gemara has been calling it all along. I'm just accentuating over here. I'm not adding anything new.
Actually, there could be a measurement because you said that if she spots and it has to be over a certain size, that is a measurement.
No, that's only when we find the blood on an undergarment.
Right, right.
But that's a stain. That's a kesem. Right. And there, because she didn't see it actually exit her body, so now we can suggests maybe this blood's coming from another source. But if we know for sure that the blood's coming out of her body, there is no shia. There's absolutely no shia. Any amount makes her a nida. So really, this is not about blood coming out of her body, in that it's not the blood, it's the act of discharging. Right? I hope I'm making this clear. It's a simple act of discharge, which makes her nida. Discharging blood. Discharging uterine blood. Okay. So now that, if I clarify this point, so now, let's think about now basically what the Gemara is going, where the Gemara is going in this discussion. So here, she discharged. Meaning she discharged blood. It happens to be that the blood is enveloped in some sort of mass, some sort of unidentified mass. But when all said and done, blood has went from her uterine to the outside of her body. So she discharged blood. Is she a nida? Yes or no? This is really going to be one of the critical issues. Or, in addition to her discharging blood, the blood also has to touch her body as it's leaving. Now, I'm going to be very specific over here. Meaning, when I say touch her body, obviously the blood was inside of her body, was inside her uterus. That's nothing. Meaning, that is not considered a negia. A negia means, whenever we talk about tuma, we're talking about it exiting her body.
The pruzdor is enough?
Now, right, to be more specific, even when it's in the pruzdor, which is not an external part of her body, it's still internal, but nevertheless, so as we're about to learn in the Gemara upcoming, that, for the purposes of Nida, is considered contact with her body. Meaning, the moment it leaves the cervix and enters into the canal, that makes her a Nida, that renders her a Nida. So, right, and we know this because the Gemara is going to dash on the word bivsara, in her body. So even though it's not actually outside of her body, it's in her canal, but nevertheless, that will make her a nida. So, the question on the table is going to be, for a woman to become a nida, we know she needs to discharge blood, we also know that there's no required amount of blood that needs to come out of her, but does it mean that the blood actually has to make physical contact with her body, and in this, we're talking specifically about her canal, in order for her to become a nida? Yeah, in other words, what we're discussing right now. What we're discussing is that it's enclosed in this unidentified mass. Or what the Gemara itself is going to talk about is, let's say, a tube was placed into her canal so that when the blood leaves the cervix, it goes through the tube. And it never makes physical contact with her body. Is she going to be a nida?
The thing is that the source of the blood, though, isn't that a concern? Usually the nida is the source of the blood from the uterine wall.
Yes.
Whereas the source of the blood is actually with this mass, it may not be from the uterine wall.
Okay, good. And that one opinion is reflected in the Gemara above, meaning that Rebbe Ben Yamin that we saw, that there's a bone inside and it may be a fetus. You're right. But for the most part, though, let's just assume, and I understand that, I do understand your point, but let's just assume that it is damnida, and let's assume now that the critical issue is, does it need to touch her? Does the blood need to touch her? So let's see all this inside in the Gemara. By mine, no. By mine, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera. Ro dam b'shfaferes mahu. Okay, so the Gemara attacks this question essentially the way I just described it. So there was a tube placed inside her canal. And so therefore, as the blood now is exiting her cervix, it goes into the tube, and it exits her body without actually touching her body. So, mahu. Biv sara marachmana v'lo b'shfafer, so dema hai biv sara mi b'ayle shemetam and biv nim ke b'chutz. Now, we're clearly going to use the word bifsara, and we're going to clearly learn from the word bifsara. But what are we going to learn from the word bifsara? So now the Gemara is going to suggest two possibilities. Number one is that bifsara comes to tell us that as long as the blood is in her canal, that's considered contact. That's considered now she's anida, even though it hasn't actually exited her body. Or maybe no, we're going to go even one step further. Bifsara means not only does it have to be in the canal, it has to touch the canal. It needs to make contact with the canal itself. So, and the answer he gives is a very clear answer. Yes and yes. Meaning, from the word bifsara, we're going to learn that for her to become a nida, the blood has to go into the canal. And even though it hasn't actually exited the body yet, she's a nida. And two, it has to touch the canal. And if it doesn't touch the canal, does not make physical contact with the canal, with the kosle beis arachem, so she is not going to be a nida. Because if all we're interested in teaching us is just simply that the blood is in the canal and makes her needed, that could be from the word bibasar or bisara, however you want to say it. My bivsarash maminatarte. We learn out two things from the additional days or the additional hay, however which way you want to go, that it has to both be in the canal and touching the canal. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's go over what we just learned a couple of minutes ago, where I had the, and this was quoted in the name of the Rashbi, that the blood was encapsulated in the unidentified mass. I got to cut it open. If there's blood inside, she's a nida. Hachi hasha. Hasam darka shalisha liroz dam b'chaticha. Hacha ein darka shalisha liroz dam b'shvaferes. And the Gemara says that's not a great comparison, and I'll tell you why. Because if the blood is encapsulated in this unidentified mass, but it's still an organism, meaning, right, we have this concept come up so many times, right? Min b'mino eino chotzeitz. That in order for there to be a chatzitza, it has to be something foreign separating you and the item. So, example, right, a kohen has to have his feet come into contact with the floor. Okay, what if the kohen's wearing shoes? That's a chatzitza. What if the kohen standing on somebody else's feet may not be a chatzitza, right? Because it's like items. So if the blood is encapsulated in a mass of tissue or muscle, that's not a chatzitza. If you're putting a tube into the canal and the blood's going through the tube, that is a chatzitza. So it's not a good comparison. In other words, we could distinguish between those two cases. Lema shvaferes tanai. And now what the Gemara would like to suggest is that this very issue is subject to a machlokas tanai. Detanya mapas chaticha afa pishim leyadam im yeshim adam tmeavim laftar Rabbi Lazar omer bibsara velo b'shfir velo b'chaticha. So the Tanakhama says that there has to be blood coming together with the unidentified mass, but if there's blood inside, that's nothing. And Rabbi Lazar says it's got to be blood coming out with the object, but not in the object. Now the Gemara makes the obvious point. Rabbi Eliezer, Haina Tanakama. Wait a second. What did Rabbi Eliezer say that the Tanakama didn't just say? Aren't they saying the same thing? So Amos, Rabbi Eliezer, Amr Bivsara Velo Bishir Velo Bechaticha Vechachamim Amrim Ein Ze Dam Nida Ela Dam Chaticha. So the Gemara says. So we're going to say like this. Share Rabbi Eliezer Omer, meaning it's not two opinions, it's one opinion, right? Because Rabbi Eliezer says, Bifsara velo b'shir velo chaticha. Good. I should have paused over there. I ran ahead a little too far in reading. Okay, good. So in other words, so basically what we have now done is gone over the first opinion of the Braisa, which is Rabbi Eliezer. Blood inside an item is not damnida. Now the Chachamim say that's not dam nida, that's dam chaticha. Now Tanakama nami tura mitayir. And then the Gemara points out, wait a second. Usually when you have a debate, one is espousing a position of tuma, the other one's espousing a position of tahara. Here now, even as we corrected the brisa, Rabbi Eliezer saying this woman is tahara. The Chachamim saying the woman is tahara. What's the debate? Ella de pali pluye ika beinayu. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where the point of debate is. Let's say this is not a hermetically sealed mess. Meaning, let's say there are cracks. So there is some communication between that which is inside the mess and the woman herself. So Tanakama sever bibsara velo bishvar velo chaticha velo adin l'shvaferes v'hani mileich d'shia. Ava pali pluye temeya maitam bibsara karina bay. So Rabbi Lars is of the opinion that if there are cracks in this mass that came out of her, and there was blood inside, and because it's not a hermetically sealed mass, and because there is communication between the blood inside the mass and her, therefore she's an Ida. The Asura Balameh, Afagav, the Palipluy, Ainz Adam Nida, Ladam Chaticha. And here, this is the opinion you were looking for earlier, where the Chachamim are saying, no, look, what are you talking about? That's not uterine blood. That blood is, that's the Chaticha blood. That's not uterine blood. And so therefore she's not in Nida. So, but Hadam Nida, Vaday Tamei, Afilo Vishraferis Nami. But had it been Dam Nida inside that item, she would have been in Nida, even though there was no actual physical contact between the blood and her body and the canal. So this is now how the Gemara understands this Braisa. The Braisa in of itself already is complicated and in need of correction, but what the Gemara is now trying to do is tease out of this Braisa this very issue of whether or not the blood needs to make physical contact with her body. Where Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, it does. And the Chachamim are saying, no, it doesn't. It doesn't need to make physical contact. As long as there's blood running through the canal, even though it's not actually touching the canal, she's an Ida. Okay. So, Amar Abaye, Bishfal Feres Kuleame Lo Pligita Tahara. So the Abaye says, no, let's not do that. Meaning, let's all agree that if the blood goes through a tube and doesn't make contact with her body as the blood goes from her uterus outside of her body, and the blood is encapsulated in that tube, she's Tahara. Meaning, and Abaye says, and let's say every Tana agrees with that position. So, ki pligi b'chaticha, mar sever darka shalisha liroz dam b'chaticha, mar sever in darka shalisha liroz dam b'chaticha. And the whole machlokus in this brace over here could very simply be whether or not, if it's not a tube, which is a foreign object, but it's a chaticha, it's a tissue, it's flesh that's being held in the blood, whether or not that serves as a chatzitza. Where one would say it is a chatzitza, and the other opinion would say it's not a chatzitza. That could be one way to explain the machlokus. The Gemara says, or we could do it another way. Rav Arma dekule alma ein darker shalisha liroz dam bechaticha. V'hachi be'isha tahara mekor mekom otame kemiflegi. Rava will tell you that it could very well be that the machlokus between these two tanayim is whether mekor mekom otame. Now, we did this already once before. Let's do this again. Okay, mekor mekom otame versus mekor mekom otahor. Okay. Again, this really touches on some of the most basic definitions of what makes a woman an Ida. Okay. We know like this. In order for a woman to be an Ida, she needs to have uterine blood come out of her body through her canal. Okay? Let's say it's not uterine blood. Let's say it is blood from another source that goes through the uterus. Okay? Let's say she has a cut in her uterus.
No, baby, we had that all. Think that if it's from one of the chambers, we said there's the blood coming through.
Right. In other words, if it's not uterine blood, but it goes through the uterus, is that blood now become tamei, subject to a machlokus? This is the machlokus of mekor mekamo tamei versus mekor mekamo tahor. If you take the position mekor mekamo tahor, it means that no. In other words, even though that blood passes through the uterus and then on out to the canal, she's not an Ida, and the blood is nothing. That's Makor Mekom
O'Tahor.
Yes. Even if you hold Makor Mekom O'Tame, right, let's see if we can be clear about this. Even if we hold Makor Mekom O'Tame, it means like this. The blood that goes through her uterus, in other words, it's not uterine blood. It just happens to be that the blood is passing through her uterus. That blood now is tamei. And even as it exits her body, we're going to render that blood tamei. But she's not an Ida, right? I mean, Rashi says it over here. She's not an Ida. It just means that the blood itself is tamei. What is she? She is just simply a person who has touched dam Nida. But she herself is not an Ida. That's if you hold Makor Mekom O'Tame. So what the Gemara now is proposing, this is Rava's proposal, is that's the very machlokus over here. So ein darka shalisha liroz dam b'chatich v'hacha b'isha tahara u'mekor mekom otame kemiflegi. Look, we're all going to agree the woman's not an Ida. The blood went through the blood is in the chaticha is coming out of her body. But at one point in time, this blood was in her uterus. So, Rebbe Elazar says, v'isha tahara v'dam tamei, she's not an Ida. But the blood is tamei because the blood went through the uterus. And so therefore this falls under the category of Mekor Mekama Tame. Daha Asa Derech Mekor. V'Rabbanan Stavri Isha Tahora. U'Mekor Mekama Tahor. She's not a Nida, and the blood is nothing. It's not, the blood is not, not itself a source of Tumah, because it's not uterine blood. And even though it passed through the uterus, nevertheless, it's nothing. It's a zero. That could be the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim of the previous Braisa. Okay, let's, before we go on, let me just quickly recap. I'm telling you just a lot of information and just a very, very quick review. Okay. Psichas hakever below dam. Right, the first big issue of the day. Okay, machlokus in our Mishnah. Machlokus also in the Braisa as well. Can the cervix open up and no blood come out? Machlokus. Machlokus in our Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the Gemara quoted a Braisa on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, whether or not the cervix can open up with blood, with there being no discharge of blood. Okay? And by the way, the accepted position is that once the cervix opens up, so then blood is going to come out. We assume that the blood is going to discharge. Now, interesting, by the way, this is a later discussion outside the Gemara. What if the cervix is opened up externally, right? Which is very common, meaning a woman goes through just a regular examination, so her cervix is going to be opened up, but not from the inside out, from the outside in. Okay. Debate amongst the Achronim, or the first ones who really take this up. Okay? Debate amongst the Achronim whether or not she is a Nida. Okay. And for that, by the way, you speak to your local Orthodox rabbi. Okay. You know, don't speak to me. Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two. In order for it to be a Nida, we know that uterine blood has to come out of her body. We know it will go through the canal. Does it need to touch the canal? The Gemara says, possibly a machlokus, although the Gemara comes to a very clear conclusion. If it's a foreign object inserted into her canal that blocks contact between the uterine blood and her canal, she's not a Nida. She's not a Nida. Right? A shfoferis will prevent her from becoming a Nida. So, okay. In other words, and how do we know that? Bivsara. Bivsara teaches us that A, she becomes a Nida once the blood enters into her canal, and B, it needs to touch the canal as well. Okay. Those are your two big issues that the Gemara discussed up until this point in time. Let's do a little bit more Gemara today, please. And non-uterine blood that goes through the uterus, Mekor Mekama Tame, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how we rule on that.
The thing is, that's such a theoretical, because I don't know how I could possibly ascertain where the blood is coming from.
Understood.
No, you can't. You know, there's a wound there, and she doesn't feel anything.
Okay, I'll let you two of you discuss it after. I'll allow you. By mine rava mi rav huna. Okay, now. Okay, basically we're going to have the same discussion that we just had in the Gemara by a woman, and we're going to translate it now to a man. Now by a man also becomes tummy with a discharge. Okay. Now by a man who becomes tummy with a discharge, there are two different types of discharge. There's number one, what's called the balkari, and number two, there's what's called zav. Now they are actually physically different than one another. Right? The Mishnah says it, that they are not biologically the same. Okay, balkari, that's a regular seminal discharge that a man has. A Zav discharge, harder for me to describe. I don't fully understand myself how that translates. I said possibly a gonorrheal discharge. Okay, but... right, it's... Correct. It may or may not come out of an ailment. Okay. Now, a man has such a discharge, so the man's going to be tummy, right? For either one of them. And by the way, the man has a concept also of Shivanakim. Right, which I know we don't think in these terms, but if you have three consecutive Zav discharges, then it's three or two?
Three.
Right, three. Right. Well, that's by a woman you need days. By a man you don't even need days. If you have consecutive discharges by a man, the man's going to now be a Zav, a major Zav, where he's going to need to count Shiv and Akim. And then on the eighth day, he's going to bring Karbanos. Right? Just like a woman, he's a Zav Gadol. Now, Question goes like this. Haro kera b'kisei mahu. Let's say the following. Let's say a reed is inserted into the urethra of a man. I know. Rough stuff. And he discharges a seminal discharge, a keri discharge, through the reed. So in other words, as it's exiting, it's not actually touching his body as it's exiting, as it's protected and enveloped inside this tube. Okay? Just like it's almost identical to the discussion we had regarding a woman. Okay? So is the man a Baal Keri? Now we've concluded already that a woman is not a Nida. So does that translate over to a man? Right? You see the connection? So mahu mimenu amar rachmana denafik mi besaro velo bekisem. On one hand, the Torah says mimenu; it comes out from him, meaning his physical body. Here, yes, it's true. The zera went from inside to outside, but it didn't leave his body. Meaning, the last thing it touched was not his body as it left; it was enveloped inside a tube. Odilma. Right? Yeah. Odilma haimimenu ashitase tumas lechutz ve'afil bekisem. Or maybe no. Maybe as long as it's just exiting. Meaning, the way I described Nida a couple of minutes earlier in today's daf is essentially the same question over here. Meaning, what makes a man a Baal Keri? Is it the actual contact that it makes as it leaves his body? Or is it the act of discharging?
But there's no Nibasara here for man.
Agreed. But it says Mimenu. It does say Mimenu. So Amar lei tepeklei du'atzmanu matame ela bechasi maspia ama. So the Gemara. So this is a question posed from Rava to Rav Huna. So Rav Huna throws a monkey wrench into the discussion, and Rav Huna says, "Look. In order for a man to be tummy with Tumas Keri, there has to be a certain shear, a certain amount coming out. And what's that amount that comes out? Enough to fill up the entire opening of the urethra." Okay, it's a shear. Okay, what does that indicate? Oh, before I get to that, that's a
fine. If there's a tube there, then they can't.
Exactly the point. And once there's a tube inserted over there, you don't have a shear. So look, we didn't come up. Any shear in the Gemara is halacha moshe misinai. That's halacha moshe misinai. Anytime you see a shear in the Gemara, that's given to Moshe, passed down to us. Okay, that's a shear. So b'chazimus pia amalamem denogea have elamiata al yister b'ziva. So alamatanya. So the Gemara says, okay. So I'm sorry, lamem denogea have. So when Rav Huna hears this, Rav Huna says to Rabba, "Wow, I see what you just did. You think that this is all about negia, meaning you think this is an issue of contact, and how are you illustrating that?" Because you're showing me that there's a shear. Now remember, by the woman, what I made a big deal about this earlier today. By a woman, there's no shear. Right. Because by a woman, it's the act of discharging, which really makes her anida. Okay, as we pointed out, it needs to touch her body, but that's because of the word bifsara. But in other words, for a woman to become anida, it's really much more the act of discharging. By a man, it's not just the act of discharging, because there's a shear of how much needs to come out of him more to make him tummy. So this is a function of negia. He says, but I'll tell you this. Elameata yistor beziva. So the Gemara says, but if you're right, so then it shouldn't be so sir. Meaning like this. I'll explain this quickly. When a man becomes a zav gadol, he has to count shivanakim. Okay, now, shivanakim means 7 clean days. 7 clean days, during those 7 clean days, he cannot have any ziva emission. What if he touches a sheretz during those 7 days? Does that upset his count? Of course not.
Because that's only one day anyway.
Yeah. That and has nothing to do with his ziva discharge, meaning that's a totally different tumah altogether. It's a different category. So he could touch a sheretz and he'll be tame, but that's not going to upset his shiva nikiyam. In other words, 7 clean days means clean from not having ziva. What if he has a seminal discharge during those 7 days? Yeah? What's the halacha? Close. You're really... it's so funny. I would have thought the same thing also. You're really close.
That's only 1 day anyway.
Oh, okay. Hold. So the Brisa tells us those torsos of Asher takes a mimin of shechvat zera. Maziva seser so shechvat zera nami soser. So and the ruling is very clear. A seminal discharge during his shivan akiyim will be soser. It will upset his count. Now, if this shechvat zera is all about negiya, if it's a tumas negiya, then it should really be no different halachically than touching a sheretz, right? In other words, it should be a totally different category of tumah, and it shouldn't upset his count whatsoever. But meanwhile, it does. So shechvat zera, the emission of shechvat zera, really is not a negiya issue; it's a discharge issue, meaning it's part of the same family as ziva. So Amalei Stira Hainu Time the Source Lafishiyev Shalab Lo Tzichzuch Ziva. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I see why you got tripped up. And I'm going to explain this to you. Do you know why it upsets his count? It upsets his count because when he has a seminal discharge, it flushes out whatever ziva was inside, and so therefore coming out with the zera is a little bit of ziva, residual ziva that was left over from when he had the zav emission.
But the thing is that the miedus wasn't entirely covered by that percentage.
Okay, so alamiata tistor kol zayin. So the Gemara says, okay, that's your explanation. So then let me ask you this. And Ben made this point just a moment ago, and we're finishing up. And Ben just made this point. If you're right that the reason why having a seminal discharge shichvat zera is because tzichzuche ziva, because it flushes and there's a little bit of zav coming out together with the zera. So then, if that's true, so then it should be a total disruption of his count. But Tanya, Balama Tanya, but we don't understand the Zohar starts as Zav, Maziva Soser So Shechot Zera Soser, in Maziva Soser Kol Zayin, Av Shechot Zera Nami Soser Kol Zayin. I might have thought that a seminal discharge will make him have to count all over again from day one. Tamalama Latama Ba, Ein Lecha Ba, Elamash Amor Ba. Soser Yom Echad, it only Soser one day. And my question to you is very simple. Why? Why is it only Soser one day? If when he has a seminal discharge, it means that there's Zav coming out with that seminal discharge, so it should be a total disruption. And Amar Lei, and he says, Gzeres HaKasavi, Ziva Gemur, Delo Arva, Bashech Vazera, Soseres Kol Shiva, Tichzuche Ziva Darva, Bashech Vazera, Lo Soseres Olo Yom Echad. It's not an exciting answer. It's not a fundamental answer. Gzeres HaKasav. What can I tell you? That's simply what the Torah says. That if he had a regular Ziva discharge while he's counting Shiv Nakim, starting count all over again. If it was a Balkari discharge with a little bit of Tzichzuche Ziva, it only soaks for one day. I understand that it sounds like it should be the same. Gzeres HaKasav. That's just simply is because it is. Okay, so the question that's proposed is, if a tube is placed inside of a man and he has a seminal discharge, is he going to be Tamei? Gemara really doesn't come to a conclusion. Meaning, because essentially what the question is the tumah based on contact or is it based on the fact that he's discharging? What creates the tumah? Okay, it's very similar to the question that we asked regarding a woman becoming a Nida.